Hello, I'm Kathy Boswell with InSource. I'm here today with Denise Webb, a related service counselor with Cooperative School Services in Rensselaer. We're going to be talking about cyberbullying. Denise, thank you for taking part in our podcast.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm very happy to be talking about this topic of cyberbullying. It has become a very serious issue that many families are having to deal with.
Denise, just what exactly is cyberbullying?
Cyberbullying is the use of modern communication technologies to embarrass, humiliate, hurt, threaten, or intimidate other individuals.
What forms of communication technology are being used to bully other students?
There are many different forms, but the most popularized are texting, emailing, using the internet for MySpace and Facebook, downloading pictures to websites, the PSP, which is a portable video game system that has access to the internet. Kids are using chat rooms, YouTube, and they're also creating hate websites.
I understand that there are different types of cyberbullying. Can you explain to us what those are?
Yes, the different types of cyberbullying are flaming, which is online fights using electronic messages with angry, vulgar language. There's harassment, which is repeatedly sending offensive, rude, and insulting messages. There's cyberstalking, repeatedly sending messages that include threats of harm that are highly intimidating. Impersonation, which is pretending to be someone else and sending or posting material. Outing and trickery, which is sharing someone's secret or embarrassing info online. And lastly, there's exclusion, which is intentionally excluding someone from an online group.
That sounds pretty serious. How often does this type of bullying occur?
There have been numerous studies on cyberbullying, one of which found of 1,440 adolescents that use the internet, 34% are bullied online, 13% are threatened, 5% are scared for their safety.
It sounds like this is happening quite often. It used to be that kids would bully other children face-to-face. Why do kids see using technology as a better way to bully others?
More and more adolescents are utilizing the modern forms of communication because their identities are concealed. They feel that you don't know who they are, they can't be seen, and it's just a game to them.
I understand that you've counseled children who have been victims of cyberbullying. Can you tell us how bullying affects children?
There are physical, emotional, and social effects on students who are cyberbullied. Some of the physical effects are headaches, stomach aches, trouble sleeping, loss of appetite, absenteeism, substance abuse. Some emotional effects could be low self-esteem, depression, suicidal ideation. And the social effects are they're fighting with friends and other people in their lives, ruined reputations, rumors, social avoidance. And in the previous study that I had mentioned of the 1,440 adolescents who use the internet, those who are being bullied, 34% felt frustrated, 30% felt angry, 22% felt sad, 24% had negative effects at home, 18% had negative effects at school, and 42% of the victims didn't tell anyone about the incident.
You mentioned that there were negative effects at school. Can you tell us more about that?
Some of the negative effects that children face at school because of cyberbullying are poor attendance, poor academic performance, the inability to concentrate, plus the physical and emotional effects that I've already previously mentioned.
What types of interventions have proven successful at school?
There's a 7 steps to intervening in cyberbullying. The first would be to save the evidence. Second is conduct a threat assessment. And then you would want to assess your response options. Identify the perpetrator. And most importantly, support the victim. Provide guidance on how to remove or stop the derogatory speech. And seek to use informal resolution strategies.
You mentioned a threat assessment. Can you explain what this is, Denise?
The threat assessment is a model with 7 steps. The first step is you want to evaluate the threat. You want to obtain an account of the threat by interviewing students and witnesses. You need to consider the circumstances and intentions of the threat. Step 2 is decide whether the threat is clearly transient or substantive, If it is a transient threat, it's easily resolved because it's not a serious threat. But if it's a substantive threat, it poses a continuing risk or danger to others. The student's age, credibility, and their previous discipline history needs to be considered. Step three is, if it is a transient threat, you need to respond to that. And a typical response is a reprimand or a parental notification. Step four would be deciding whether if it is a substantive threat, if it's serious or very serious. And a serious threat might involve a threat to assault someone, and a very serious threat involves a weapon or a threat to kill, rape, or severely injure someone. Step five is respond to a serious substantive threat. Take immediate precautions to protect potential victims. Notify students' parents. Consider contacting law enforcement. Refer the student for counseling. And discipline the student as appropriate. Step six is conduct safety evaluation for very serious threat. And that is, you take immediate precautions to protect the potential victims. Notify students' parents, consult with law enforcement, begin a mental health evaluation of the student, and then discipline the student as appropriate. And step five is to implement a safety plan for very serious threat. You would want to complete a written plan, maintain contact with the student, and revise the plan as needed.
Denise, what role do parents play in preventing cyberbullying?
Parents can play a very important role. Parents can have computers in a common area of the house in lieu of private bedrooms. This way, parents can easily access the computer and they can view and monitor. Parents can block websites on the internet so their child can't have access. It's important that parents take an active role in viewing and monitoring emails, texts, and the other forms of communication that we have mentioned.
Well, how can parents and schools support a child who's a victim of cyberbullying?
When handling a bullying report, parents and schools should affirm the student's feelings, ask who, what, where, why questions, assess the student's safety, and make a plan, refer the student for additional guidance, and inform the student on what will happen next. As previously discussed in the threat assessment model, parents and schools need to assess the threat to determine whether it is transient or substantive. If substantive, determine if it is serious or very serious. In addition, parents and schools can refer the student as the situation requires. Parents and schools need to monitor the student with increased supervision if warranted. And lastly, parents and schools need to support the student by lessening stressors on him or her. Address the bullying with the student. Talk about the peer relationships that they have. Consider home and school factors that might be a cause of more stress to them.
Thank you so much, Denise, for joining us today and sharing this very important information with us.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you for listening to the InSource podcast. The views expressed on this podcast are the views of the person being interviewed and not necessarily the views of InSource.